Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope.
We were having a very serious conversation about mayonnaise here.
And the Bulldog.
And don't even talk to me about weed.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
By the way, speaking of friends of the show, as we were with Dave Parker,
mm-hmm.
going to Cooperstown, Kreskin.
Yeah, that was yesterday.
Kreskin.
Yeah.
Did he know? I had was several, that, yes?
Yeah, well, I was here for one, and did you do it two other times without me?
I think maybe.
Yeah.
Once at the art gallery. I did a show from were you at that one? I did a show from inside the art gallery and talked to Kreskin from, like, they had the sports exhibit.
Yeah, I was there for that.
You were?
Maybe that's the time I talked to Kreskin.
Maybe it is.
I remember being there for that. Yeah.
It's a terrible loss.
Yeah.
I really mean, like, he was really fun to have on.
Yeah.
Connect with.
I know. Yeah.
It just got weird every time, Kreskin.
That's to be expected.
That's what Letterman loved about it. Just got weird every time. You're back. Anytime you want to come back, you're back. We'll have you.
Right.
Joe Ostrowski. Not sure I ever heard Kreskin on BetQL Daily. maybe it was about to happen.
Well, you can't really bring mind readers on to gambling shows.
Oh,
that's a
setup for all time, Joe.
That's a bad mix.
Yeah. Not interested.
Joe Ostrowski, BetQL Daily, weekdays on the Bet 1520 and the Odyssey app, and also Sundays before the NFL slate with Jason Lockenfora.
Joe, before we get up and running here, let me just ask you. I'm getting DMs from your partner there, Sammy P. He's coming through town next Friday. What am I in for?
Drinking.
Okay.
Lots and more after that.
I'm familiar with that.
Is that official? He was telling me he was working on it. He might be able to do that on his travels.
I mean, we're not, like, you know, specific dates, times, and place. Well, we got a date. Time, place, you know, TBD. So we'll see if it comes together. But it seems like he's, like, telling me to be ready. I think so. I'll get my boots on, and I'll make sure I have my Lyft app ready to go.
It's a good idea. It'll be a good time. I will give you the heads up, and he will fully admit this. Are you aware of the Irish goodbye?
Oh, of course. Yeah.
So he's the king of the Irish.
Okay, goodbye. Fine.
So if you look around and you don't see him, no offense.
Yeah. No.
I use it often, including Will tonight at the holiday party, the work party.
I was sitting in here, Joe, as we're getting ready to start the segment, I'm looking at my coat thinking, should I put my coat in my truck now so that I don't arouse suspicion when I walk through the party with it at, you know, 8 p.m. or something? Like, at least I'm just in my shirt and walk through, like, going to the men's room, bop, that's it, I'm gone.
I think the party's over at 8.
Oh, yeah?
I think it's 5 to 8. The party, Joe, you ever have this? Like,
party?
Well, we're in here until 7, and the party's at 5, and it's in the workplace. I mean,
yep.
And they're just, we're the zoo animals, just walking by, waving and pointing, and which one is, you know? That's coming up later today for us.
I mean, really, do you have to stop by? They started in the middle of your show.
I like the party, but for half of it, at least, we're working. But I do like it.
Right.
I also like leaving it. Joe Ostrowski. Bills-Lions, one of the games of the year. The Bills have made a habit of losing the game of the year in the NFL season after season. You know, Bills-Rams was kind of that, 44-42. Now it's Detroit. And I've seen 1.5, now 2.5 last I looked for the Lions. What do you make of what the numbers look like? And a high total, highest in years.
Wow, yeah, this is going to close as the highest that we've seen. The highest probably since Bills-Chiefs a couple of years ago. 54.5, split between 54-54.5. And the point spread is, 2.5 at most spots. One of the sharp offshore books that everybody copies. They're at 2, so I wonder if that's going to come down a little bit before we get to Sunday. But, I mean, you can't help but bring up what happened last week. And the Lions in a good spot with a little extra rest there. But, with the Rams, it was their A++ performance. And you guys have probably gone over all the stats this week. But, you know, what I think of is watching the Lions a bunch, and the team that I pay closest attention to at least a couple of times a year, is their struggles with mobile quarterbacks. And a lot is made about the Lions and over the last few years, how much they cover the spread and how well they play in domes. And all of that is accurate. They have a great record indoors. You know who's really great on the turf? Your quarterback. That's what's scary. And I bring that up because Justin Fields, I mean, I saw this guy tear up that Lions defense for his time here in Chicago. I mean, there were three games where he rushed for over 100 yards all by himself. So I understand why the total's that high. I would not bet under in this game. And I like your Bills here to cover, and I think they can certainly win this game.
Ross Tucker is on with us on Tuesdays, and he said the same. He did Green Bay Detroit, and he's like, you guys don't even know how badly injured their defense is. Maybe it's a little better going into this game. I'm not even sure, but he's like, he kind of was their due to lose after beating Chicago by three, and then
hanging on
Green
against
Bay.
Green Bay too. Yeah, right.
Yeah, last Thursday after that game, I'm blanking on where it was exactly. But if you go back to the preseason and we include the early season injuries based on what they had available on Thursday, it does sound like they'll have more, and maybe they were holding guys out a little bit so they are ready for this game. I don't know why you would do that in an AFC matchup, but it does sound like they will be healthier. But they were missing 10 defensive linemen last Thursday from where they were in training camp. 10. But they do have the depth where they were able to get by. Aaron Jones had three touchdowns in that game?
Jacobs did. Jacobs did.
Yeah.
Yep, he had three.
Yeah. Around 70 yards. I thought they were going to end up running it more right at him, but they didn't. But that's what I expect to be the difference in the game, the rushing yards.
They shut out Jaden Reed. We all appreciate that on the last week of the fantasy football regular season for him to get a 0.0. In a 34-31 game.
And everybody was on him.
Yeah.
Everybody was betting those props.
Right?
Yep.
Joe Ostrowski with us. Are you dabbling, I would probably guess yes, in the futures markets, trying to predict what the playoff brackets will look like, or just so, you know, we're looking at schedules here. In Buffalo, it's now a two-game deficit with Kansas City for the one seed with four to go. And so I know we've talked a little bit more about the sevens, the candidates around there, than we would have been last week. What can be done to try to take advantage of what the markets look like right now, if anything?
Yeah, so that's funny. On yesterday's show, myself and Sam had a conversation about just ranking dangerous playoff teams outside of the top two seeds in each conference, which, you know, we know in some order. But outside of that, who's dangerous? And we picked three teams, and we each landed on three different teams doing it independently. And it's interesting what different people think. Like, are you completely buying in to the Vikings, or are you being held back by Sam Darnold still after, you know, he's received some criticism and then five touchdowns, no interceptions last week, and a great coaching staff? I think that's interesting. So as far as like the NFC North, he ended up picking the Vikings, and then I land on the Packers. Or right now you would see a matchup in a 3-6 in the AFC. Don't know if this holds up, obviously, but the Chargers and the Steelers. Each of us picked a team from that matchup that could be dangerous in the playoffs, but he picked the Chargers, then I end up picking the Steelers. It kind of shows the separation of those top couple of teams. And then everybody else. So the group of everybody else, they're probably going to have to take down both teams. In the AFC, you're probably going to have to take down both Buffalo and Kansas City in some order. AFC with the Eagles, assuming they don't fall apart here, and in Detroit. I think it ends up being chalky, but yeah, certainly I've done some of that. On the AFC side, I don't really think that there's going to be someone that catches Denver. It's probably going to be Denver pitted in that seven spot in the AFC. I don't know that there's a lot of shuffling outside of division winners. And it's mostly about the NFC West, which we'll see tonight.
Does that mean you bet Denver to beat the Colts then? Like, would you play that with that in mind this week?
I didn't get there because the number is 4. But
okay.
Yeah, that's – I just – week to week, it's what Richards – which Richardson is going to show up. Every single week, that's the conversation that you end up happening. But how can you not be impressed with Sean Payton? I brought them up. Even though it's a rookie quarterback, like as far as dangerous matchups, going against Sean Payton, a rookie that stopped turning the ball over, and, of course, the incredible defense that they have, that's something that you don't want to run into early in the playoffs.
Do you like either – Baltimore or Atlanta at about the same price, plus 180, to win their divisions?
No, because okay. I was saying Bucks a few weeks back
okay.
when they were about 3-1 and looking at the schedule, and then it's fallen exactly how we were thinking. And the Bucks, the big favorite. I still think that they're a bit of an underrated team, so I like the Bucks there. And wait, what was the other one? I'm sorry?
Baltimore. 2 games back. With another meeting with the Steelers coming up, Steelers have a rough schedule. Baltimore doesn't have it easy, exactly.
I've just come out this year and said I was dead wrong on Pittsburgh.
Right.
Made my adjustment. Like, look, I was wrong, and then this tough schedule that everybody was talking about, they beat Cleveland last week. They were supposed to be a lot better. Cincinnati, who they end the season with, they were supposed to be a lot better than they are. They can't stop anyone, and it's been impressive, especially what Arthur Smith has done offensively with that team and those quarterbacks.
Yeah, I've gone from, they're not going to win that division. Baltimore will track them down to stop being tied with the Bills. I'd like some breathing room going in the last couple of weeks of the season. And and if you, Pittsburgh, all of a sudden are going to be the team, not all of a sudden, they've been there all year, but if they're still going to be there in the rearview mirror or right next to me, that's going to be annoying.
Yeah. The back-to-back road games here, that's going to be difficult. But if they get through that, I mean, who knows? Who knows? Ending the season with Cincinnati, will there be a reason to play Burrow? I don't know. Probably not.
NFC West, Joe. We have Rams Niners tonight. Seattle has the lead there. Arizona took a big drop in their division chances with that loss to Seattle, now having lost twice to them. Anything you want to do with that division?
Oh, man. What the numbers are saying, they're telling us that Arizona and San Francisco are not going to win. I think the win probability was 4%. But in this division, anything can happen. So if San Francisco takes tonight and they're a 2.5 to 3 point favorite against the Rams, it feels like they'll be knocking the Rams out, right? And then we're going to make a case. But I feel like everybody wants to do anything but pick Seattle.
Yeah.
And with what they've done since the bye, I know everybody's not paying attention, and maybe they're a bit of a boring team, but we're seeing the Michael McDonald effect here, right? He made some changes, especially with the linebackers on the bye, and since their bye, they've won 4 straight games. They're giving up only 15 points per game, and it's just Geno, stop turning the ball over in the red zone, and they're going to be fine. Kenneth Walker's out last week. That's okay. We have Charbonnet. So it might just be Seattle. That's the pick that I would make. But, I look at last week with San Francisco and Chicago, that being much more about Chicago, not getting the coaching bump and the disaster that they have and unintended consequences. You fire Eberflus, so you lose everything with the strong defensive coaching that you did have. But, I do like San Francisco tonight. But as far as that, I'm buying what Seattle is doing right now.
Joe Ostrowski, one of the hosts of BetQL Daily on the Western Hotline with us here on WGR. Well, we had maybe the rare, maybe you could tell me how rare it is for an MVP candidate's team to lose, but his odds actually improve. That's what we got on Sunday. No surprise, given the game Allen had in a losing effort with 3 rushing touchdowns and 3 passing touchdowns.
Yeah, if you would have asked me a week ago, is it done? I would have said, no, it's not done. We got too much football left. This is, no. Look at the odds. They were minus 150. And now they're minus 450, at least at BetMGM and a couple of other spots as well. And I agree with that move. That after the results, even though they did lose in that shootout, wasn't the quarterback's fault. He did everything he possibly could. He wasn't playing defense. And, you know, so, you know, I agree. I understand that. And the second favorite is now a running back. And you could make the case that there is value for Lamar Jackson. You could find him at 14-1. But it feels week by week we're just eliminating names. Like Mahomes down to 40-1. Feels like he's been eliminated.
Wow.
And
12-1.
Yeah, 12-1 record, but look at the stats.
I know.
Not even close. And you brought this up a good month ago, and we talked about it as well. We're all right. I mean, the numbers weren't there, but as the season's gone on and these impressive performances, see, Allen's had those wow games, those wow moments. Saquon has. Lamar has. It hasn't happened with Mahomes. They find a way to keep winning games, but he hasn't had those monster statistical games.
No.
And I don't know that Goff has. And then people remember that big interception game as well. So it feels like at most a three-player race. But, okay, let's say, I know you don't want to think about it, but what if the Lions win? Then does Goff get an extra boost?
Mm-hmm.
I don't really see it.
Isn't four games left enough time to still be open to somebody else? You know, I think there's still four games here and things happen, you know, whether that's Goff or Barkley's record.
Not the names we're talking about? Or
well, probably. I mean, obviously the field narrows as you go, but Mahomes' number is outrageous. I'm not betting it.
Uh-uh.
I live in New York anyway, but 12-1. Like, my thinking on MVP all offseason was you're going to have to be the one seed. I mean, one or two seeds 10 years in a row. It's been a quarterback of a team that's been at the top of the standings or close. The two Jackson years were exactly that. And here's Mahomes, of all people.
Right.
The golden child, right? I mean, three Super Bowls already, and his team is 12-1, and he's nowhere near the top of that list. And Allen, I mean, last week was incredible for him. Greatest fantasy quarterback performance in history, but his stats, like, it's almost like last year with Jackson, where
they're not as good as you would think for the MVP. Like, if he wins it, and maybe wins it as convincingly as Jackson did, maybe some of the same arguments that were used against Jackson with Allen could be used to criticize Allen winning for Jackson's advocacy, you know, like, because he his stats are probably going to be better, maybe considerably so, and Allen's were, except for interceptions, of course, last year.
And then Lamar's going to likely be the five, right? Five or six seed.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to come into play. It's usually the one or two seed.
Right.
So that's part of it. And, yeah, it's a good starting point, but then you look at the numbers, okay, it's not close. And I feel like every week, you guys are probably talking about it every Monday. All right, Josh Allen has now done something only Otto Graham has done.
Yes.
He's the all-time franchise leader as far as touchdown. It's one thing after another after another. So I do understand people that are willing to say that it's done, but I've just seen it too many times. At this time last year, it was DeMar Hamlin by a mile, right? In Flacco. What? He was 200-1, you know, 5-6 weeks to go. Crazy things do happen in this league. I don't know that it happens with MVP, with a guy that we've been waiting for it all to come together, for him to take the award.
Right, yeah. I mean, yeah, Otto Graham, and the week before that was touchdown reception without being credited with a reception.
Right.
And these are all like sort of signature plays, you know, like the diving at the pylon on that receiving touchdown. He had the 26-yard run on 4th-and-2 against Kansas City. Last week, I don't know if there's exactly a signature play from that game, but still 6 total touchdowns. I mean, it's just been, and these are all games that were in big national windows. The 4:25 window for the Chiefs game, and this game last week against the Rams, and then, of course, the Niner game was the Sunday night game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know you're thinking about the Sabres a lot, Joe, and whether your playoff Sabres tickets are going to...
Well, not after the last hour, after what you guys say about these
players. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening, Joe. We appreciate it.
Is there anything Belichick-related to bet on?
Yeah, there's a win total for North Carolina already.
Is there? What is it?
Because they know people are going to bet on it. Like, Colorado, North Carolina, they're the lead in college football. It is 6.5 for next season.
They're playing those teams?
No,
no?
But,
okay.
But I'm just saying how much college has changed. Like, these are the teams that are interesting now.
Yeah, right.
That everybody's talking about. 6.5 is a number. You think it works?
Yeah, I think you were saying that maybe betting the over is a sucker bet.
I don't know. I don't know who's on the roster. I don't know who's on the roster that he's going to be going against. But what I've been hearing, what they've been selling today, is really interesting. Because you think about it, and, you know, your sons are older than my son, but, like, there are a lot of dads that are going to be pushing their son to go play for Bill Belichick. Guys that think that they can play in the league, what they're pushing is, this is going to be a professional operation. Then they hire Michael Lombardi as a general manager. He's going to be, instead of the pro scout or the college scout, he's going to be the high school scout and work in the transfer portal. Dabo Swinney, always at the top in the ACC, has no interest in the transfer portal. And with the NIL world, I think it's interesting on a number of levels, and one of them is he kind of gave up on the all-time record for wins by signing that five-year contract. Which is fascinating. I think it's cool for him and Lombardi. They're obviously both going to be working with their sons. I wasn't sure early on. My first reaction was, I don't know if it's going to work. He's not going to want to deal with boosters and all that crap. But the more that I think about it, if you want to play in the pros, you get a jump start on everybody else. And I heard Tomlin actually on with McAfee. I caught him for a minute today. And they asked him the question about it. About drafting players from North Carolina. He's like, you know what? My son played college ball a little bit ago. I'd send him there in a heartbeat. And, yeah, there's a good chance that we're going to be looking at North Carolina players a lot harder because of the way that they're going to be coached for a few years.
Really interesting story. Joe, good luck in week 15. Any questions for us before we let you go? Maybe not.
No.
All right.
I think we're good. Good luck with Panionovich.
Yes. More ways than one.
Next week. Yeah,
thanks,
right.
Joe.
Yes.
Joe Ostrowski is the co-host of BetQL Daily on the Odyssey app and the Bet 1520 each weekday morning and on Sunday mornings before kickoff as well with Jason Locke and Fora. 803-0550 to join us. Joe is correct. We spent a lot of the first hour on the Sabres. It's 8 losses in a row. Is it over already again so early? And just trying to, again, futilely, or maybe not, maybe we think we know, but for a decade it seems like we've been trying to figure out root causes. And I don't know. What's Occam's razor? The simplest solution, is the simplest theory is the right one?
Right.
Sal Capaccio coming up at 5. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, WGR.